The first reading is from Psalm 103, reading verses 1 to 22. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, reading verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the third reading is from Matthew chapter 22, reading verses 34 to 40. The greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is the word of the Lord.
Pam and Ian and Colin at the door and a few others that I've met. What a lovely, vibrant, warm, loving community you have here. It's such a pleasure and privilege to be here this morning. love your music, variety of musicians, including tiny little ones. Very impressive and welcoming and lovely to see. You can hear from my accent that I'm not originally from here. Who would like to venture a guess as to where I'm from? Canada. Someone even said Vancouver. That's very good, very specific. Anyone else? Well, I'll give you a little bit of advice. If you hear someone that sounds like me, always guess Canadian first. You may already know that. You're politically correct if you guess Canadian, because you won't step on toes of Americans, but it definitely goes the other way. You will definitely offend a Canadian. I don't know why. I am American. I'm from Connecticut originally, near New York, but I've been living in Australia since 1997, so I'm well and truly Australian as well. I have lived on three different continents, so I've moved around a little bit, and I have three children, ages 15, 19, and 21. So I always say, three continents, three children, Lord willing, no more moves. But that's enough about me. I'm here today to speak on behalf of SHARE, an organization that I really feel absolutely privileged to be a part of. What's wonderful about the work that we do is that we are able to contribute to bringing life, joy, and hope into those who are doing life tough, those most disadvantaged in our communities. So it's a great privilege. Before I get started speaking about that, I'd like to first speak about something that often brings the opposite of life, joy, and hope. Are you able to read this? Yes? Poverty, yes. I've purposely written in a way that's a bit difficult to read, a bit cryptic, because poverty is often disguised. What do you think of when you think of poverty? What are some of the words that come to mind? You're welcome to call them out. Hunger. Homelessness.
Aboriginal.
Aboriginals, yes. Loveless. Yep, these are all some of the words that we think about, and I've put together a few, or I found a slide that puts together a few of the words that people think of when they think of poverty. Dusty, poverty, starving, poor, lack of shelter. Now, I'd like you also to take a moment to think of images, because we often have images that we conjure up in our minds when we think of poverty. But think for a moment. Poverty may look like this. Or this. Or this. But as I mentioned before, poverty may be disguised. If you saw these people on the street, not in this little room, but walking down the street, you might consider them to be what some might call normal, whatever that is. But you might not know that they're living in this tiny little room without enough money for food, clothing, school supplies, and other basic necessities. Have they hit an unexpected crisis? What could their story be? Is it possible that they're living in emergency housing, escaping domestic violence, or perhaps her husband suddenly passed away? She was left traumatized and afraid, with no job, no confidence, no way of paying her rent. Emotionally traumatized and scared. Poverty can show itself in ways we don't expect, like drug and alcohol abuse, depression, aggressive behavior. Sometimes we write those people off as being losers without really thinking about what's behind their crisis or their impoverished situation. This can lead to isolation, depression, antisocial behavior, And oftentimes criminal behavior follows that, and the cycle continues. It's good to stop and think about the reasons why. Sometimes it's a result of crisis, but sometimes it's more systemic. There are a number of reasons why. For example, I'm going to go back one, sorry about that. Mental illness, personality disorders, depression, anxiety, physical or intellectual disability, social isolation, growing problem, spiritually speaking, lack of purpose, people asking, why am I here? What's my purpose? If you saw this little boy, would you consider him to be poor? We might think, oh, he's just a little sad. He's perhaps having a bad day. But is it possible that his dad lost his job and they've had to move out of home and he doesn't know where he'll be sleeping tonight? Is it possible that dad came home drunk again last night and beat up mom? Is it possible that mom is back in hospital due to mental illness? We don't know. What we do know is that without support, a hand up and out, this little boy could have a future like this. Isolation, depression, antisocial behavior, and possibly criminal behavior. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that people are poor because they lack material resources. Or sometimes we even think they lack the character to do something about it. But poverty is so much more. It's not only a lack of financial and physical resources, but it's a lack of confidence and motivation to do anything about it. Sometimes people just get stuck for reasons far beyond their control. They just need someone to care. I'd like to share with you something a little bit personal, my story. It's my family. Just this past Christmas, my three children that I spoke of earlier all look happy and like everything is going okay, and we are happy. But you wouldn't know from looking at this photo that just over 2 years ago, our family hit a major crisis. I was left feeling traumatized and afraid, wondering how I would manage to support my family. I experienced a whole range of emotions that I had never before experienced. Anxiety, fear. I would be going along feeling okay at one point, then all of a sudden it was like, bang, I had been knocked over in my face and dragged through the mud, emotionally speaking. Another way I would describe it is like being caught up in the surf. Has anyone ever been caught up in the surf before? A few heads nodding there, yes, so you know that feeling, or you can imagine, I think, if you haven't. I have. I've had to be pulled out before. It's you get a wave, it's the similar feeling emotionally to a wave coming and knocking you down, and you kind of let yourself go with it until you're able to come up and grab a breath of air. Sometimes you just get just a portion of a breath, and then bang, the next wave comes and down you go. And you come up again when you can, catch it, just a bit of a breath, and down you go again, bang. And that cycle repeats and repeats until you start to think, oh my goodness, am I going to survive this? This experience really caused me to think hard about crisis and poverty and what it really means. And I thought, how do people manage without support? You see, I'm well educated, come from a good, solid, strong, loving family. I have a great network, a strong friendship network, church network, the love and support there. Present okay, I think, strong faith. Yet at times, I barely managed. The experience completely changed the way I look at people in crisis. It helped me realize that crisis can happen to anyone. I learned that poverty is not a lack of character. It's a lack of money, a lack of opportunity, a lack of confidence and hope, a lack of investment. Sometimes it's when society turns its back on you and makes you invisible, voiceless. And poverty is much closer than we realize, sadly affecting 1 in 6 Australian children. But now my favorite part. There is a solution, and there's something being done, and you all can be a part of it. And as I have heard, you all have been a part of it through contributing through your community, a very community-minded congregation you have here. Now, having compassion and understanding are step one. And the second step is getting involved, and that's what I'd like to talk a little bit about today and what you can do. As I said earlier, I love my job because what we do can bring life, joy, and hope and transform lives of those most disadvantaged. But how? Well, SHARE raises awareness and resources for those in need across Victoria and Tasmania. We do this by putting out 4 appeals per year, and Pam facilitates that, and she has one coming up, she was telling me before, our winter appeal for homelessness. But we also respond to crisis and disaster that you've been a part of as well. Some of the areas that we support are homelessness, child, youth, and family services, drug and alcohol rehabilitation, domestic abuse, and emergency relief. But we don't just give handouts. We have a process where we select those projects and programs that we feel will be the most effective in helping people, in making change in people's lives. And we use a panel of experts to do this. So we give out grants through Uniting Care agencies. So when you think there are so many needs, where do I start? SHARE is there to help. So we don't only respond to the immediate needs for care, but we help people work through their problems, giving them a step up and into new life. I'm not sure how many people here are familiar with the size and scope of Uniting Care. I certainly wasn't when I first started with SHARE. If we look at the size compared to some of the other more familiar agencies in the community, you can see the size difference there. Uniting Care is actually the largest outside of government community services organization in Australia, with over 35,000 staff, similar to Australian Post, with serving over 2 million Australians per year, and over 24,000 volunteers. I'm often asked, with such size and scope, why isn't Uniting Care better known? And I believe it has to do with the humble nature of the Uniting Church, and also with fewer dollars being spent on marketing. Probably a good time for me to say a little something about the Uniting Church. Coming into this role a little over a year ago was my first experience with the Uniting Church. And I have the opportunity, every second Sunday I go and speak in churches. And that's the part of my role that I absolutely love, because I get to be amongst the people of the Uniting Church. And I know there's lots of talk about declining numbers and size, and I'd like to draw your focus and attention just to the size and impact of the work that your community is doing through Uniting Care. It's the Uniting Church that is at the foundation of all of this work and the amazing transformation into people's lives across Australia. That's something that you can really be proud of in a positive sense of that word. Now, when people donate to SHARE, they want to know that their money is being used wisely, and it's going to those most in need. Many of our donors have been longtime supporters, and it's been built on a relationship of trust. They tell us that they feel confident in donating to SHARE because they know that their money is being well stewarded and getting to those people most in need. Some of you might be thinking, well, why give locally when there's so many needs internationally? You hear that through the news. But you don't have to look too far or listen too closely to hear that we have many issues right here in our own communities. We only need to listen to the news, read our papers, and we find out that there's a great deal of pain and suffering right here in our own communities. We still live in an oppressive world of abuse, very sadly. domestic violence is rife. Homelessness and mental illness are rapidly increasing. And as we've talked about, crisis can happen to anyone. As Christians, how can we turn a blind eye and ignore our neighbors in need? Now, no amount of generosity can rewrite the bleak beginnings of some of these lives, but even a small donation can assist that person to create a new ending. What will our response be? From our readings earlier, we learn a lot about the nature of God. That's why I love the readings that I selected. We can almost take any piece, any section of the Bible and learn about the nature of God. When I went through, this is what I found. Perhaps you found others. God forgives iniquities, heals diseases, redeems life, satisfies with good, renews youth, gives justice for the oppressed, astounds and abounds in steadfast love, removes transgressions, knows how we are made, rules over all, doesn't grow weary, gives strength, gives power. God is the creator of the earth, is understanding, steadfast in mercy, slow to anger, merciful, gracious, forgiving, compassionate, righteous and everlasting. We clearly see the majesty and power of God. We also see his love, mercy, and compassion toward his people. What comfort that brings. So despite our circumstances, despite our storms, we as Christians need only turn to God, remembering who he is and praising him for his glory, his splendor, his majesty, his love, his power, strength, peace, blessing, and it goes on and on. Always remembering that as our creator, he has our best interests in mind, like a father, a mother to a child. He is our anchor, our rock, always steady, unchanging. So when the needs around us seem overwhelming, we can cling to what we know about the nature of God and do our best to respond in an appropriate way. So I would like to encourage you to have faith by remembering who God is and leaning on him in times of trial. And act faithfully. Demonstrate your faith by serving others around you. As you think about how you can demonstrate your faith in service to others, who will you help in times of trial? The New Testament is summarized in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39 that we read a little bit earlier, one of my favorite set of verses, and one that I try to live my life by. In response to being asked what the greatest commandment is in the law, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Simply stated, love God, love your neighbor. Sounds simple, but as we know, isn't always so easy to do. So I challenge you, how will you love your neighbor, those in need in your community? I've put out some brochures on a table out in the foyer, and this is a summary of the work of SHARE. Very nicely summarizes who we are, what we do, and how you can be involved. I would encourage you to grab a brochure, even if you're very familiar with SHARE. It's a nice little summary for yourself, or you can share with someone else, and I would encourage you to do that. And inside, there's a little card that shows how you can become a SHARE partner. The reason I point this out is because we're really encouraging people to consider giving on a regular basis because it really helps to keep the administrative cost down, even if it's a small amount. It helps for planning purposes and keeping the administrative cost down. So that's something I would encourage you to consider. I'd also like to briefly mention that we have asylum seeker program that very shortly will be launching. In response to the asylum seeker appeal that we ran last year, there was an overwhelming response from people wanting to be involved. So we've put together a program in a way that people can be involved, much in the same as being a share partner, but partnering with the asylum seeker situation as well. So that will be coming shortly. Now, I have a short video to show, but just before I do, and as we set that up, I just would like to close in prayer, if that's okay, written by a colleague at my office. So we'll pray just as that gets started. God, you call us your friends, not just one, but all, not just the rich, but the poor, not just the powerful, but the marginalized, not just the vocal, but the voiceless. Not just the speechful, but the speechless. Help us not to be speechless in the midst of racism, discrimination, and oppression. Help us to hear the voiceless in our midst, and give us courage to be a voice for the voiceless in our church and society. Help us to be aware of those people whose voices have been muted by domestic violence, by poverty, by discrimination, by domination. Help us to stand with them and be their voices till they find their own voices once again. Help us to have faith and act faithfully. We pray and trust. Amen.